Welcome to episode 143 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live September 13th, 2019. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In this episode, we invited David Callahan to join us to discuss Microsoft 365 deployments and Adoption Change Management, or ACM. So without further ado, here's the interview. Good morning, Scott. Happy iPhone 11 release day.
It's another day.
Or at least the day we're recording. By the time everybody hears this, they'll all be sold out and you'll have to wait like 3 weeks to go get one.
Yeah, but by the time they hear this, I'll only be a day away from having mine in my hand. So
'tis true. I did not actually order one. I am on the fence of if I'm going to order one and upgrade or if I'm going to pay off mine and ride it out for a little bit, or if I can find a family member that wants to buy mine from me.
Yeah, we always pay them off all the way. So I'm already in the mode where I bought mine, I swiped the credit card, and then I went over and rocked in the corner and just went back and forth and consoled myself and cried for 15 minutes and I got over it.
You got 3% cash back on your brand new iPhone order. Thanks in part.
Excellent.
To the
yes.
Apple credit card.
there we go. Thanks in part. Covers the tax.
Yes.
Almost.
I have mine too. I haven't used it for much yet, but it makes a fun sound when you drop it.
Oh, boy.
As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro.
So what are we doing today?
Yeah, so we have a guest. It's been a long time since we've had a guest on the podcast and interviewed somebody. So today we have David on the podcast. And again, rather than us trying to introduce him, we'll go ahead and let David introduce himself. So David, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, where you are, any fun details you would like the listeners to know.
Yeah, sure. So hi, everyone. I'm David Callahan. I am head of business change at a Microsoft partner called FITS. We're based in the UK, out of London, obviously one of the great cities. And a fun fact, let me think. So my kind of Office 365 journey, if you will, started about 3.5 years ago when I worked in UK Parliament. So with all the members of Parliament and the members of the House of Lords that you see on TV a lot at the moment over here. Yeah, and rolling out Office 365 to everyone there, which was a great challenge.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I'm sure we could have all kinds of fun discussions about the UK Parliament right now, but we're not going to talk about that today. So today, you said you've been doing a lot with Microsoft, with the whole change management practice, and we thought we would get you on and talk through this whole, it's the Adoption Change Management opportunity, Adoption Change Management practice, ACM, however you want to refer to it, but it's kind of a partner practice that I guess Microsoft is pushing. So what is, in your words, kind of help us define what is this ACM practice? What is this adoption change management that Microsoft talks about?
It's a fact that we know across the industry, about a third of people are willing to use new technology. And whether that be something like Office 365 being introduced to an organization for the first time, whether it's the fact that they've been using it for a while and now they're going to need to start to think about and use Teams, obviously, in the move from Skype for Business. We're all people, we're humans, we have busy work schedules, and it's how do we actually kind of get people to want to use the new technology? And so that's where it all starts. It starts with thinking about people and I guess putting yourself in their place and thinking about, right, I'm working with this organization as a partner, and I need to think about the best journey that people are going to go through and how do we support them, whether that be you know, really strong, good communications, letting them know what's happening, where and when, whether that's the training and everything that comes in that, but also all the way through to kind of your stakeholders, who's going to be, you know, your biggest resistor, who's going to be your biggest seller out there, kind of representing it day to day. And so, yeah, the opportunity really is kind of all about success. It's how do you make a success of someone using Office 365 today? How do we look at someone who might have had it for a while, but they're actually not really utilizing it, so they're not getting that return on investment? And driving all of that forward to kind of making a success so people know what's happening, when, how to use the tools, and really just know that they're getting the best out of the products that they've got.
All right, so this is trying to get over a little bit of that new shiny object syndrome, because us as IT folks, we like to like go order iPhones the day they're released and the very minute they become available without always thinking about how the technology, the shiny new features, when you get into Office 365, the brand new feature that's going to get released or that's still in preview. It's trying to get away from kind of a focus on what are all these brand new features then, and a little bit more of focus on your end users, your business users, and how you really bring them along on this journey?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the iPhone is a perfect example of this because, you know, you get people like yourselves who might order on that day of pre-release. We would call that, you know, the early adopters and the innovators, but they only make up about 13% of kind of your, we talk about obviously workforce, the end users. And then you get to what we call your early and late majority. Now, that's in total about 70% of the organization. So that's really where you actually start to get past this shiny new object syndrome, to use your phrase, and actually really get people behind this momentum about starting to use products. And it's normally because they actually understand and know how to use them. And one thing that I've seen quite a lot over the past few years is IT sometimes have a syndrome, and this isn't everyone at all, but of like almost throwing a grenade over to the end users and going, right, go play with this, and it doesn't work. And, you know, IT get frustrated when people aren't using the tool that they're meant to be using for the job. But sometimes it's because something as simple as the why is overlooked, and that's not communicated to people. So they don't actually understand why Office 365 is being rolled out, why Skype is going, and they need to, you know, learn about this new product called Microsoft Teams, or even something like why they should stop using something like, I've completely gone over it now, it's because it's a Friday afternoon here. You know, stop using those, something like Dropbox, and actually start to use SharePoint and OneDrive. And that's because, you know, IT might have a security reason, but that's not communicated. So they just assume, oh, I'm just going to carry on until someone tells me otherwise.
Got it. So kind of something you said there struck something I've heard before. So I don't know if you've ever seen, like, Simon Sinek has a talk that's all start with why. And he talks about all about kind of what you just said is we need to start with why we're doing something. His applies a lot to why we're doing a particular business or why we're, what's that core underlying mindset behind why we're doing what we're doing. And kind of what you were just talking about is that same type of thing, only from IT to those business users. As part of this whole adoption change management is really starting with why, with your end users and your business users. Why should we be going in a particular direction then with Microsoft 365 or frankly with any technology then within the business?
Yeah, exactly. And there's often a, by the time that we come in and we're working with people as an organization, there's often normally a business case that supports, you know, kind of what's happening. So the why from a business perspective has been justified. Take something like Skype for Business back in the day, or, you know, people moving to Teams. Often the why is around, you know, trying to reduce your travel costs, trying to remove existing telephony systems, etc. And that's a great benefit to the business and, you know, those margins. But actually, it's then about turning it on its head and working with end users, whether that be in workshops, whether that be face-to-face and just interviewing people, but really understanding how this could benefit them outside of those business benefits and actually what's, you know, beneficial to the end user, because that's what has to be sold. It's the why it's happening, but then following it up with, and this is the benefit to you.
Yeah, the end user part of that is always interesting because quite often we think about organizations holistically and wider teams or business units. And ultimately, you know, when we say people and being impacted by these workloads? Is it individual people? Is it teams? Is it a wider part of the organization? Like, is it an entire business unit, an entire product? Or holistically, is it the whole thing? Like, is it just messaging out to at general and teams? So I've always found that that bit of rationalization, like where you find your balance and how you dial into the right part for not only your overall why from maybe a top-down leadership perspective, but also boots on the ground, and then how you align that messaging across the organization to be really the science behind a lot of this. Could you maybe talk a little bit about that and how you approach some of that?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the things that we're always keen to do, and a lot of organizations have completely agree with us when we say this, is we go in and we do interviews with from different individuals from different departments to try and understand how people work, why they use the systems they're using today, finding out about their frustrations with the technology they have, finding out about what's gone well in the past, what maybe hasn't gone so well. And from that, what we do is we tie in those interviews with a much wider organizational survey, which actually doesn't ask you, you know, how do you work, what do you do, but instead talks about ways of working. So, for instance, it could be something like how much time do you spend working from home at the moment or on the road, how much time do you spend in the office on a fixed desk, all the way through to meetings. What's the culture of meetings like here? Do people feel free enough to dial in, or is it very much it has to be a face-to-face? And out of that, what you do is you generate some personas. Obviously, now personas traditionally have always been used in marketing. You know, marketeers would always talk about, we're going to target this persona group with this level of marketing and communication because we know this message will resonate with them. And to an extent, that also happens in change management. But what we do is we look at it from that change point of view and go, right, this persona, let's say they're a road warrior in an organization of about 3,000 seats. How can we help support them? And that could be something as simple as they reported that the devices that they have to do their work on are too heavy. They're having to carry around older devices that, yeah, are a laptop, but maybe don't work as well as they could. So that's about actually starting to look at that and build in, right, well, with something like Teams, is there going to be a bring your own device policy so they could actually use their own device whilst they're out on the road and maybe use their current corporate device back in the office? Or is it there's going to be new devices rolled out as part of that program? And let's make sure that actually those needs are thought about when someone goes along and actually procures all those devices. And so from that, what we do is we actually kind of get two outcomes. You get the personas that I'm just talking about, and then you get some general observations. And it's really interesting kind of working with CTOs, CIOs, IT directors when the general observations come out, because what you're able to discover is some quick wins. So it could be something as simple as, I'm trying to think of a good example from the past, people reporting that they can't print from home. And if they're a road warrior, that's a problem, because before they leave the office, maybe a week, they're having to print out everything to take into one side, the fact that people are still printing stuff and getting out of the office. What that actually means is that they need that ability. And that might be a chat with security, getting signified relevant risk board, etc. But actually, that's something that is immediately, this has been reported and here's the outcome. And organizations like to see that. And then sometimes you get more longer term goals that need to be looked at. It could be sometimes the service desk and kind of how people feel that they're being listened to, how things are tracked, called, monitored, all the way through to, oh, you know, I've left an organization, just recently joined this one, and actually it feels like I'm stepping back in time because I used to have access to this application, this system or platform, et cetera, and that would be really good here.
That never happens.
Yeah, no. So as you develop these personas, I'm guessing that's one advantage of if you are looking to roll out Microsoft 365, Office 365, or any technology of working with one of the partners. As I'm guessing, as you've gone through this time after time, you start seeing some similar personas that surface across a bunch of different companies, or you've kind of gone through this. I get the feeling sometimes even when I go into companies, and I have fallen into the same trap myself, is that you just work with IT, and sometimes IT misses that, or because they're in the company, they don't understand all those personas, aren't taking that step back. And again, I'm guessing because you've started doing this with multiple companies time after time, you've started to develop, hey, this type of persona is one that tends to be similar across all the companies, or it even gives you that ability to step back because you're not right in the business to kind of help identify that a little bit more?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's that objectivity that really does help us. So we, for instance, rely on the organization providing the right people to interview. And one thing that, you know, we will always insist on is that, you know, they're from different departments. So they've got a different knowledge of the different applications and systems and cultures within the business. But also little things like different lengths of service, because how long someone's been in an organization can really be a reflection on their perception and actually how they feel. And then kind of if it's an organization which maybe doesn't just have one office, which let's be honest, many organizations do now have many different locations, even if it's just through a video call, being able to interview and talk to people who actually aren't in that head office is so useful, because you get to understand about how the interaction works, what's the communication like, how are they supported and how they feel about how they're supported by IT. But yeah, you definitely get to spot some patterns between organizations, because it doesn't matter if maybe you're a finance or an insurance company, if you work in hospitality, or ultimately if you might work in the public sector. The way that people work can fall into patterns. But what's really interesting is when kind of I interview people and I'm talking to them about, you know, how do you work? What do you do? What are the frustrations? Is that no two interviews are often the same. And you have to kind of draw out what do they mean by that? You know, why do you think this is the case? And that's where you start to see actually the general observations coming through about, you know, kind of how people feel about the status quo, because there is no change without that status quo changing. And therefore, we know that things are going to change. We know roughly that, you know, it's probably going to be Office 365 that this organization goes out and uses. So we can be sit there talking to them and thinking, oh, something like Teams would be really good for you. Or, oh, I can think of Planner being perfect for that. But obviously, you don't want to lead them into that question, or sorry, rather that answer. You know, you want to kind of let them know that, you know, things are in the pipeline. Obviously, not promise anything, because you don't want to sit there and say, oh, yeah, they're definitely going to change that, because you never really know, because you're not part of the organization. So yeah, the objectivity definitely helps. And it also means that they can have a very frank and open conversation without it going back to maybe someone like their line manager and saying, oh, you know, Helen in accounts said this. And, you know, just to let you know, that's what she said about, you know, kind of how the culture of meetings is in this team.
For sure. Upskillity is disrupting cloud training as we know it with their on-demand platform, SkillMeUp. Their new design focuses on a user flow to better support role-based learning paths with these great new features. Real-time, hands-on labs are now included with each subscription to build your skills competence. Hundreds of cloud courses with more added daily to transform your skills for today's cloud-first careers. Role-based learning paths guide you through associated level courses in an easy-to-view layout and tracker. Microsoft Azure and Microsoft 365 certification prep courses and labs to support you leading up to exam day. Learn more and start your free 3-day trial at www.skillmeup.com. Okay, so we kind of talked about, we develop the why, we start talking about why a certain change might be good. We start talking about the business or about the personas and what those different roles are, what they look like. And from there, I'm assuming I can then start identifying the technology, like you said, whether it's Teams or technologies that Road Warriors, HR uses. So you've developed the why, you've developed the personas, what might be good for them. And then you just kind of throw it over to them and say, here, you told us what you need. We've identified these. Here's all this great technology. It's going to make your life better, right? Is that the approach? Or do you need to do something besides just throwing them the technology?
Yeah, I mean, because for instance, we've worked with two people recently, and one of them already knew that they were going to go down the Office 365 route for a lot of things. For instance, their telephony and doing the full enterprise voice solution. But the other hadn't even done their licensing for their seats. So there was actually an opportunity to go, oh, okay, right, well, have you considered that actually your licensing selection for someone who might work in your frontline stores and sites might not be required. So therefore, you can do a bit of cost saving there. So what tends to happen is we'll do a bit of a report, do a presentation back to kind of the key stakeholders that are involved in that organization. And then as soon as that's done, we will then start to, you know, hopefully work with them on the next stage, which is looking at, right, well, what does it look like here in this organization? What's actually going to happen? What's going to change? We know from the persona work that, you know, accounts using this system, how's that going to integrate when the mail gets moved to Office 365? Because at the moment, it's automatically generating invoices, etc. And so then kind of the stage two is change impact, looking at what's going to happen, looking at how people are going to, I guess, be affected by the rollout of something like Office 365 or any other technology. And then as soon as that's done, we kind of go, right, we now know that this level of communication, this level of training, this level of support is going to be required to actually help everyone. And you can start to then tailor messages. So for instance, one organization who I've been working with, I know that if I went back in and spoke to their HR team to do something like a Office 365 overview, let them know about the applications, what does what, then I could actually tailor some of the messaging and go, oh, but don't worry about that system that you're using. We're going to leave that for the moment where it is because it can't integrate with something like SharePoint. And immediately they don't feel concerned. Their resistance won't go up because they'll want to embrace those parts of Office 365 they know they can use. And then be reassured that we're not going to touch that really important system that they use every day.
Awesome. I think there's also a lot of fear in organizations as they look at this wide kind of swath of technology. So like you were just saying there, if there's a particular component we think we're going to use, but maybe we're going to hold off because we have this other critical business system that's not ready to go yet, how do you kind of work and massage in that with workloads and things like Microsoft 365 and Office 365, even though you're not going to use it, you probably still need to turn it on. So I've seen a lot of hesitation within customers that I've worked with. You know, they'll say, we want to use Teams, but we're not ready to go to Exchange Online yet. We're not ready to migrate our mailboxes. So now we have a little bit of a technology problem because, well, we need to license you for Exchange to light up that workload and get you in there so you can chat, because that's where your chats are stored. So do you ever run into that with your kind of customers that you interact with and some of that general hesitation around approaching those technologies for more critical workloads or things they just don't understand? Like, how do you sell that into customers and say, well, you kind of have to do it, right? You've made this technology buy, like, let's do it and figure it out a little bit.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, because often it's the case that there's hesitation from IT to actually turn on and roll out something, which is actually really great in many ways, because it means that they're just not turning it on and letting it run right in the background, which I've also seen. But then you have kind of the pull factor, and Teams, to use your example, is a really key one in this space, because I was once working with an organization and IT weren't ready to enable Teams because they felt that like their governance wasn't in place and how they were going to structure everything, the whole groups in the background. But yet the end users were going, we've heard about Teams, we want to start using Teams, it's going to make our lives so much easier. And it's one of those times where you kind of sit there and change. At this point, I was actually working in a program perspective and running their change team. And it's kind of, well, what do you do? It's a Microsoft product, it's part of Office 365, they're going to be getting it, but yeah, IT saying they can't have it. And yeah, IT is also saying, but they need to move off Dropbox and they need to use OneDrive and they need to use SharePoint. And, you know, their mail's already migrated, so it's all fine. It's just this holdup. And so the way that I particularly handled it was actually to kind of work with homeowner for 365 and the CTO and go, right, well, those people that are actually saying we want to use it, or we're going to start using something like Jira, or we're going to start using something like Slack, why don't we make them pilots? Why don't we like learn some lessons actually from getting on the platform and using it, monitor their adoption and use in the background through something like the adoption Power BI dashboard, and see what happens. And then that gives us time to actually get some governance in place, and we'll make it really clear to these end users who are so keen that this is a pilot, and therefore things might change. The governance might come along and say, actually, they can't have a team name like that because it doesn't meet the naming convention. And yeah, kind of, that's how, I guess you could say, I got around it. But, you know, I actually was able to work with stakeholders and, you know, make sure that the end users were happy, as well as the IT department.
Well, I think that brings it full circle as well, because now it's not a technology rationalization decision, because you've got people who want to experience the technology and maybe a partner within the organization like IT or whoever that enabler of that technology is to go and push it. And then as long as everybody's going through that journey together and kind of understanding that pain and where things fall out, then, you know, you are going to end up with those internal, I think when we were talking earlier, you framed them as like digital champions, but those people who can go forth and say, hey, we worked with IT, we had this success, it was a little bit bumpy, but they were willing to go on this journey with us. It wasn't this combative exercise, which I think, you know, for a lot of organizations, it still tends to be, right? If you're very monolithic and set in your ways, and here's our governance, and we're not willing to change, and all those kinds of things. So now you have these people have come along and they can go be your champions in the organization. And to a certain degree, should that business process carry forward, then you've got a nice bank of people who can not only say, hey, wow, this is really good, but they can also go and kind of train the trainer and spread that messaging as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, kind of the only other thing I'd say on that is what it all comes back to is the communication. And I've had to be there in projects and programs in the past where I've had to, you know, write up to the organization and basically say, you know, we're delaying the enablement of something because we're not happy with kind of how it's going to impact you or what that process looks like, whatever it might be. And, you know, you get a few people that say, oh, you know, we've been waiting for it, blah, 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 which is a fair, you know, feedback to get. But then my response to that is always, well, would you rather that we did this the old way and just turn something on without really thinking it through about how it's going to impact you on day one? Or would you rather that we took a bit longer, you basically keep using the system that you're using for a bit longer, and actually you have the best user experience? And I'll never forget, there was one person who wanted an email migration who'd been saying, I want to be moved, I want to be moved into 365, etc., etc. And the day that this person was moved, they then emailed in to say, oh, there must be a problem because everything just happened correctly and I didn't notice anything. It's a bit like, so you were expecting
it was seamless.
Going wrong. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. It's a little bit like, you know, the office space thing. What do? We fixed the problem. It just went away on its own.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all set and ready to go.
Oh, did you have something, Scott?
No.
I was going to say, so then as you go through this, you start deploying this. This is something that you also continue to do, right? It's not just a one-time, let's deploy this, whether it's now you go back and kind of start that process over again with a new feature that you want to deploy next, or whether it's something new that Office 365 is releasing. But this isn't even like this change management process is a once and done, but kind of a circular process where you just keep looping around and around and go through this with each new feature, with each new service within Office 365 you want to light up, or for that matter, any type of technology.
Yeah, and that's something that's really keen that I always try and make sure that from day one, we're starting to change the culture of in the organization that we're working with. Is I talk about three things. I talk about the fact that the Office 365 stage happens in three phases. Stage one is your implementation. So that's your change, understanding the impact, launching the product, making sure people know how to use it on day one, or they at least know kind of where to get support, how to find help. Stage two of that is your adoption. So people are starting to understand where this fits into their day-to-day role. They know how to use Teams for meetings, how to go into meeting rooms, start one of those Teams meetings. They know to save their personal stuff to OneDrive, but to put their communal stuff in somewhere like Teams or SharePoint. So that they're unconsciously competent in what they're doing, and they know how to use it. So, you know, the whole productivity curve doesn't dip for too long, but people get to a state of being, you know, happy and comfortable really quickly. And then once you've got to that phase and people are using the tools, and it doesn't have to be everyone, but as long as a majority of people are, you can then actually start to consider that digital transformation piece, which is a phrase that obviously is thrown around an awful lot. It's on a lot of strategies within organizations, but what that actually means.
Yeah, we're just going to go on a journey. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But what that actually means is that, well, you've got the platform and you've got the basic understanding across the organization about how people are using it and they're comfortable using it. So now you can start to look at the next level, which is stuff like Power Apps and Flow and all those extras within Power BI, you know, relevant to licenses, etc. But that's actually where the organization starts to change, because it's not IT anymore coming to people and saying, oh, there's this thing called Power Apps, you need to start using it. I was working in an organization once where one of my digital champions who we'd kind of educated on for a two-day course around introduction to Office 365 went away and built a whole Power App around their sites. And this was a hospitality business. So what they were doing is that they did all their kitchen checks, and he built a Power App to do all their kitchen checks, including taking photos, etc. And it removed a whole paper process from the organization. And this was the users really pushing through that digital transformation because they understood how to use the tools, and they went away and kind of learned that bit extra. And that was really fascinating to see. And that's kind of where things really did start to change. And that's where that continuous change, like you were saying, is really important. And that's where someone like a change network, digital champions, change superheroes, whatever you want to call them, are so valuable, because they're helpful to the product and program when you're doing that whole implementation piece, because they know the organization so well. They've been there, they've seen things fail in the past, they've seen the successes in the past, and they really want to make Office 365 launch a success. And that's exactly what they do, because they help on the ground, they make sure people actually do those actions before they get migrated or before something gets turned on. And then past that point, they're then your forum for continuous change. So we've been looking at how actually someone like an Office 365 platform owner in an organization needs to work with a group like the Digital Champions to give them the visibility of something like the message center, something as simple as that. And just forwarding those messages to that group and community of Digital Champions means that when something changes in Office 365, they already know, they can already see it. And, you know, they're there to kind of help people and end users, different locations, different teams, different departments.
Very cool. Everyone is always looking to save time in their day, just like moving to the cloud can save you from the mundane tasks of patching, updating, and maintaining servers. Sanebox can save you from the mundane and time-consuming task of managing your email. Sanebox works with your existing email configuration to make your mailbox awesome. It may be using Sane Black Hole to avoid mailing and cold sales emails, or Sane Reminders to automatically remind you when you need to follow up on an email. You can even snooze an email, yeah, just like that pesky alarm clock in the morning, to defer or to de-emphasize an email that doesn't need your immediate attention. So what are you waiting for? There's nothing to install, nothing to learn. Just go to sanebox.com/allthings. That's sanebox.com/allthings to get 2 weeks free and a $25 credit.
Sounds good. So that kind of, like you said, brings it full circle. And with that, I think we can wrap it up. Is there anything else, any other items, topics, anything else people should know about it?
I mean, there's so much. I mean, I can talk about, you know, adoption change management all day, because what I really love about it is that no matter what I'm doing, no 2 days are the same. I'm working in one organization one day who's just starting out. I'm working with another one who's already using it and they want to start to use it a bit more to get a bit more return on investment. So yeah, I mean, I think it's just a fascinating area. And I know from Microsoft's perspective, they're really keen to get organizations using the products, understanding it. That's why they set up the whole customer success team and what that looks like. So yeah, I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger, the whole adoption change management side.
Awesome. Well, I think that about wraps us up. Where can people find you on the internet should they want to connect? I know we really didn't mention it too much, but you did mention Fitz and things like that. So it just Fitz with 2ts.com. Do you have Twitter, LinkedIn, any place you'd like to point people to?
Yeah, definitely LinkedIn. So Fitz, as a organization, we're definitely on LinkedIn. Search for David Callahan and I'll come up as head of business change at Fitz. But yeah, I mean, we're really keen to talk to people about this sort of stuff. We absolutely love talking about change and the whole adoption piece. And yeah, if anyone's ever in London, we try and put on events every 6 weeks. Also, on various topics, not about change and adoption, but also about security and technology and architecture and governance. And yeah, we are just really keen and happy to talk to people. We love it.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for the time today.
Well, no, thank you.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.